Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. Today I'm going to talk about gratitude. It's this month's Dharma topic, along with generosity. And it's also a good day to talk about it, since we have Thanksgiving coming up. Very happy for that holiday. Maybe you are too. It's just a time, you know, that comes around every year that we have a little pressure to think about gratitude. When Stephen asked me to, you know, Stephen and I talked years ago about making a Dharma calendar where we have these topics once a month. And one of the reasons was just so that we can remember some of the things that are important to us in this tradition. I think that Zen and gratitude go together. They're kind of a natural together. I think that because our practice, our fundamental practice, is letting go of ourselves altogether. Letting go of our agenda, letting go of our cravings, and going down to what we call zero. And then when we come back from that, there is a little spark of joy that comes that is talked about in the tradition. In various different ways, and it's not a joy in the complicated things in life or the big things. It's a joy in the very small things, in the sunshine, in the feeling of the floor against your feet, a warm bowl of oatmeal. Yesterday, for instance, David and I sat on the land. That was yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah. It was cold. Not as cold as this morning, but it was cold. We were outside. Just the two of us. We were the only two that showed up. And, you know, underneath the tarp on our property. And it was cold, but it was so beautiful. And Kin Hin, you know, walking that long trail. With all the leaves that have fallen, all the colors. Just was beautiful. I couldn't help myself. I took a picture during Zazen. Posted it on Facebook. So you can find it there. Just, you'll get that feeling looking at that picture. And I think that Zen puts us, this practice puts us in a better position to accidentally feel gratitude like that. Just to have these moments of, wonderful. That time reminded me of a time that I felt 20 years ago when I was training at Mount Baldy Zen Center. Just one of those moments that is etched in my memory. It was cold. It was winter training period. It was not a retreat on. There were probably 10 people in the whole camp. Maybe 8 of us were in the Zendo. And it had snowed. It was not snowing, but it had snowed. I was the shoji, so it meant that I got up probably at 2:15, 2:30 to gravel the path from the Zendo to the dining hall so we could get there without slipping because it would freeze overnight. And so there we were sitting inside the Zendo, and I just felt, you know how you do when it snowed, and you get that energy, especially if you've been up since 2:15. and so I was sitting feeling alive in the Zendo, very awake, And Genshu, my fellow monk, was a jujitsu. And he just got a notion, and he went around, he just hit everybody with the keisaku. The keisaku is the hitting stick that we use. We don't use it here, don't worry. But that's the old tradition, is to hit people who are sleeping with this stick. Very, very fun tradition. And I do actually appreciate it in ways that I think are not masochistic. But at any rate, he just decided he was going to go around and hit everybody. It was obvious because he just went right down the line, boom, 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 and it got to me. And I was just so happy, and it didn't bother me in the least. And of course, you know, I mean, it's meant to help you wake up. And I figured early-ish on, it took me a while to really incorporate this, that it didn't matter whether you got hit by the keisaku or not. Mm-hmm. If you were sleeping, that was great. If you weren't sleeping, and you got annoyed because you weren't sleeping and they hit you with the keisaku, well, then you weren't doing zazen properly anyway. Because, you know, you just... The right thing to do is just to say, well, okay. So I just said, well, okay. And then we went out for a walk in the snow, and the moon was out, and it was just so achingly beautiful. And I just felt so grateful to be alive. I felt so alive. And also to be practicing, to be doing this very weird practice. And I thought at the time, I recognized the irony of like feeling so grateful. I thought about my friends, you know, who've pursued all kinds of other things, like, if only they could be here. But of course, it wouldn't be enough to be there. If only they could appreciate this moment like this. Then I don't know what happened after that. That's all I remember. But I remember it so crystal clear. That feeling of aliveness and the gratitude that came along with it. I do think that Zen sets us up for these moments of awe and gratitude because, in a way, just to put it, well, to put it bluntly, maybe not so nicely, it takes everything away from us, so that the moments of awe and beauty come to the fore rather than all this other stuff. I think I'll add this story of Ryokan because it puts a finger on just exactly the same thing. Ryokan was a monk who lived in a hut, and he was a great poet. He wasn't very, he forgot things all, you know, left and right. He wasn't, you know, sort of a perfect monk, but he was so sweet. And he loved playing with children. So he was out playing with children at dusk, and he came back to his hut, you know, very simple hut, and he found a thief rummaging around trying to find something to steal. And Ryokan realized right away there's nothing here to steal. And so he said to the thief, "I'm so sorry, I can't help you." And the thief looked up, and Ryokan realized right away, took off his robe, his koromo, and folded it up neatly, and gave it to the thief. And the thief just took it and ran out into the night. And then Ryokan sits there by the window in the moonlight, you know, staring at the moon in his dress, and says, "I wish I could have given him this moon. I wish I could have given him this moon." That's the treasure that Zen gives us when everything's been taken away. You see, he didn't have anything. But when it's all taken away, we have that. And in fact, we realize it more fully when everything's taken away. So, he had that. If only he could give the thief that. The thief was richer than he was at that moment, with the robe at least. But if only he could give him that, that's harder to find. So, I do think that Zen, by taking everything away, gives us this chance for simple appreciation. when we sit like we just did, you know, we do our best to give up the everyday pushes and pulls of life. And I think that this practice does have a chance at least to give us an appreciation for just being here on the planet. And in order to sit deeply, we really do have to cultivate, and I want to encourage you to cultivate this, to cultivate a taste for just being. There is a taste that it has. It tastes good. But so many other things taste good that we have to take those away. We have to sort of consciously take those away in order to taste that. Buddhism has a word for this coming back from having taken everything away, coming back to these simple pleasures. And that's Sambhogakaya. We have three bodies of the Buddha in Buddhism: Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya. Dharmakaya is the body of the Buddha where the Buddha is just everything, where we're not thinking about anything at all. Then we come back from that to this body of bliss, of appreciation. Even though we're doing this practice, I feel it's important and good and right for people like me and for ourselves to find ways to encourage each other to feel appreciation, to feel gratitude, because we forget so easily, even though this practice, I really do believe, sets us up for it. Why is this? Well, I'll tell you why it is. Because I heard a radio show on Freakonomics Radio all about it, about why we don't feel gratitude as often as we might, because we are hardwired. And actually, I learned this from Robert Wright too. Remember, who gave a talk about a year ago here, who wrote Why Buddhism is True. We are programmed to want more and more. That's deep in our DNA. To gather more and more. And we are, as Robert Wright says, natural selection does not want us to be happy. It wants us to be productive in the narrow sense of that word, to get our genes into the next generation. And so we're programmed to focus on the pleasure that we'll get when we reach a goal. Very focused on that. And to kind of forget that the fleetingness of that pleasure, how that's just going to be going to go away. So pleasure gets real big in our minds, and the fleetingness of it we forget. The Buddha tried to remind us of that fleetingness. That's kind of a foundational point of Buddhism. But we always get suckered into thinking, if I could just have that thing or that experience, that'd be good. So we're hardwired to be goal-oriented in that way and to overestimate the pleasure that that goal will give us. We have a corresponding tendency to focus then on the obstacles that get in the way of our goal. And what we don't think about much is all the good things that have given us, gotten us to this point, so that we can, you know, reach these other goals. We tend to forget those. Social scientists call that the tailwinds, headwinds, asymmetry. We notice the headwinds, we're all about the headwinds, we do not notice the tailwinds, we've forgotten about it. So we notice the obstacles to our desired goal, and we're wired to think about how to overcome them rather than to appreciate what God's here. And that this whole thing, this whole goal, get over the obstacles, get to the goal. It's really good. Find a new goal, because it wears off so quickly. That they call, there's a word for that that I've read in numerous places, the hedonistic treadmill. It keeps us on the hedonistic treadmill. It just keeps us going like that now, like a mouse. Just going. And we just keep chasing. Yeah, and you know, what were you thinking about just now during sitting? What kept you going? No? Were there obstacles that you were, you know, worried about to getting somewhere? It's good to reflect on that sometimes. What is it? What were we solving there? Where were we getting? Because the purpose of Zen and Zazen is to stop. It's just to stop. To stop moving, to stop getting anywhere, to stop achieving anything, any goal. It's difficult, of course. But when we do that, to the extent that we can do that, after that, we can feel our tailwinds more clearly. It's not all about the headwinds. It's also about the tailwinds. It's also about just a simple appreciation for being here and what's gotten us here. I think it comes more naturally when we stop running on that treadmill. And that's what Buddhism really is all about. So I think it sets us up nicely for it. It does prepare the ground for gratitude, but it does not guarantee it. And I think it's a good activity as a sangha, somehow, even though it sounds corny, to actively remember it, to remember to be grateful. At the end of every retreat, we, you know, and I felt, I made this up, and I felt awkward about it at first, but now we just do it. We have a little moment of gratitude for about a minute, just to remember to be grateful for our lives, for the people who've given us the time off to do this retreat. And it feels like a natural moment to do that. Dogen Zenji, who lived in 1200, who was born in 1200, long, long time ago, he tells his monk, and this, I really got on this gratitude jag 3 years ago when I read his treatise, his instructions to the Tenzo, and in there, he has three minds, very famous. It was a Japanese movie, very crazy Japanese movie about Dogen's life, and the three minds figured in. And one of the three minds is to be joyful, to cultivate a joyful mind. And when he's talking about that, what he says is, a joyful heart is one of buoyancy and gratefulness. He says, grateful just to be alive. He says, to be born, remember that you were born a human. So he's reminding his monks, you know, don't forget to be grateful that you're born a human. You could have been born in the realm of the gods, you could have been born in the hell realm, but you were born a human where you get to practice, where you get enough suffering and enough ease to grow. Remember that, sis. And let that bring you joy and buoyancy. So here he is. If he can remind us of, to be grateful, then I can too. And that's the feeling I had in that moment in the moonlight, in the snow, in that bubble. Was that feeling, gratefulness of being alive and gratefulness to be able to practice this practice. Well, as I drove in, I saw the sign that what the talk was going to be about, and I realized, oh, I didn't address what I thought I was going to address. Really what I was supposed to address, which is also the difficulties in life, how to be grateful for those too. So I'll address those very briefly. I We're talking now about kind of individual, like being grateful now and then. And I have really worked on that myself recently. And I've had a few really touching moments where I was crying because I was listening to something on the radio, having a driveway moment, and just to feel so happy and grateful to be able to have this driveway moment, you know, and to be able to cry. Anyway, so I'm trying to remember these things. These are individual moments, but I think this practice and some attention to gratitude does give us, especially to this low level of gratitude, the level of gratitude, not like being happy to have all the money that we have or all the comforts that we have, but just to be alive. If that becomes the basis of a gratitude, I really do think that, first of all, it's a more solid basis. And when bad stuff happens, when we get hit with a keisaku, either literally or figuratively, there's a much better chance that we can put it in perspective. Because we still have the sunshine. We still have these moments. We've spent more time appreciating them. Not just appreciating the things that we have up here, but appreciating the more basic moments. That gives us a better chance to put these problems, these obstacles, in perspective. If we can put them in perspective, we work with them in a different way. We don't freak out. We see them as something that we can learn from. And Dogen points to that too in this exact same place. You know, he says, as a human being, you're born between the realm of the gods and the hell realms. You have to have enough ease and suffering to grow. That's an important part of our practice as well. I wanted to open up. The main thing I wanted to do today was to open up the topic of gratitude and to remind you to be grateful and to remind myself to be grateful.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.